anything. This shit got me in my feelings. Gotta be real with it. Yeah.
Got me in my science.
Got me
welcome.
In my
welcome to the Drake themed science podcast, Science Thursday. Everything on this channel now, ever since I got that mega hit with clickbaiting people into thinking that my podcast was the Drake track in my feelings, we've been sort of catering to the Drake crowd, so I switched this theme song up to In My Feelings. I reached out to Drake. He said I'm going to use his real song and just sort of say In My Science, but Drake actually said he would make another version of it that says In My Science.
Well, that's so nice of him.
Yeah,
it's cool. Canadians are nice.
Yeah, Drake's really nice. Is he into science? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that wasn't he. He was studying biology or something in Canada. He had a pretty promising career, but then he started rapping, right?
He was just so good at rapping that, you know.
I think he's going to return to it once like this sort of dies down. Maybe like, I don't know.
Couple months.
Yeah it's just
probably gonna be soon.
Well, Drake, there's always room for you on, you know, this podcast or my podcast. I could always use a fresh voice.
His new album Scorpion was actually he was studying arachnids, I think.
Yeah,
so it's actually Scorpion. A lot of people think it's because he's a Scorpio, but it's actually because he's like passionate about scorpions, spiders, crabs.
Soft-shelled, I don't know what that's called, arthropods.
I think it's just like crabs, lobsters, maybe. But welcome to Science Thursday. Pew, 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 pew. Welcome to Science Thursday. We got Evan Rogers here. We got Zach Show Live. I'm Ryan. Did you guys get the? Are you guys have your document pulled up for the day?
Not yet.
Before I was just hoarding all of the topics to myself and sort of just revealing them to the other guests as we went. My new thing is I prepare a Google Doc and I send it to you guys with links with just like the sort of the subject of each topic and then a link to it. And some of the links have like highlights built into them, because I'm using this weird plugin on Chrome, but some of the times the plugin makes the site glitch out, so it doesn't work. But did you guys see any science that you saw on your own that you wanted to talk about this week?
First of all, I just want to maybe explain what Science Thursday. You keep saying Friday.
Really?
What? I think so. Unless I don't know. But anyways,
I probably do. Sorry.
For all y'all Drake heads out there that don't know what Science Thursday is, as you just heard, Ryan prepares a Google document of a couple interesting science articles that, you know, we just talk about, and you know, we don't necessarily have like the proper background to talk about.
Nah.
But we want people to know. People aren't reading these science articles. People are, you know, they're just up to their necks in politics. So we're trying to give you another taste of what's going on in the world. And
speaking of, though, I kind of have a little bit of politics in my science this week.
Well, can I just say, as far as politics,
it's good. Transition.
Well, politics is a part of science, is it not?
Science is a little bit political in a way.
I just want to say that, you know, we cover all science that goes from, you know, 0 Kelvin to, you know, 273.
You said that last week, yeah.
That's the third week. I just want to make sure everybody knows we're doing the cold and we're doing the hot, so.
Yeah, I just go through, I have a Feedly set up. I just, like, come through all these, I rifle through them, or as Zach prefers, I shuffle through them. And I pick my favorites. But I got kind of steamed up this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because, like, actually, my first story. Do you see my first story?
Yeah. The tap. Well,
tap water is poison.
Seems pretty bad, if that's true.
It's actually, like, speaking of Science Friday, how I keep saying that, I've been listening to Science Friday a lot And this, I actually heard this on an episode from a couple weeks ago, and I got so fucking pissed. This story is from June 20th, or this article is from July. I guess it's sort of like still burning. Like it's still coming. Things are still coming out about it. But the gist of it is that there was
what? Do you guys, I mean, I drink a fuckload of tap water. I mean, yeah. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, so, I'm not one of those people. Well, let me just say what the story. Yeah, it's basically right, like there's right. There's chemicals in a lot of tap water, especially on military bases, and the chemicals are PFAS. Do you remember those? Have you heard that of PFAS before?
I haven't. No.
No.
It's what's in Teflon. Let me see. It's
perfluoroalkyls.
Yeah, how do you pronounce that?
Perfluoroalkylis
or something. PFAS. Yeah, I remember they said they were inside microwave popcorn. Like it was something that was inside of that. It's inside a lot of our stuff, and I think they're banned in Europe. But they're also used in military exercises. But anyway, there's a huge. I'll just read the first paragraph here from this. This is from the New Republic, and the title is "The White House PR Nightmare That Never Came True." Oh yeah, so this report was actually done back in. It was published or given to like the Trump administration in January, but they were afraid of people freaking out and it being a PR nightmare, so they suppressed it. Here's the first paragraph of this article. On June 20th, the Trump administration released a report some officials hoped would never see the light of day. The draft study for the Agency of Toxic Substances Disease Registry found that contaminated water across the country, especially on and near military bases, was far more toxic than government realized. That meant potentially millions of Americans had been drinking water with unsafe levels of perfluoroalkylis, we don't know how to pronounce it, or PFAS, which cause cancer and liver disease, disrupt hormone levels, and complicate pregnancies. Potentially millions drink that water today. The government's dire findings explained why political aides to Scott Pruitt at the time, the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, had suppressed the report for months, fearing what he called a public relations nightmare. Yeah, so...
So this is at military bases where?
All across the country. I looked at the report. It's like almost every state, many Holy bases shit. In every state. And then also some, it's not all military bases. It says because the foams, these like one of the contaminants was a class of chemicals used in everything from nonstick pans to firefighting foams. Because those foams are routinely used in military training exercises, 126 facilities across the U.S. have nearby water supplies containing levels of PFAS above the EPA standard of 70 parts per trillion. And then this report concluded, however, the new report concluded that the EPA's standard was woefully inadequate to protect from harmful impacts, and a safe limit would be closer to 7 parts per million. So,
sure.
So, like, they, and the crazy thing is this came out, and it's kind of this one person who she is sort of like testifying for this. She's like, the country's oblivious. They're all distracted by Trump. Like, even though this came out, like, your water is literally poison.
It's like a month ago.
Yeah, it's kind of a blip on everybody. Like, nobody's even really talking about it. Yeah.
At least for immigrants out of the company or out of the country, though.
Yeah. But it's like so annoying to me personally, as like a person who used to, like, whenever I saw those YouTube documentaries about fluoride in the water.
Oh, yeah.
I thought like the government was trying to like make me stupid. And I, for like the longest time, would just only buy water that went through reverse osmosis, so that had literally nothing in it. I just bought one of those office coolers and bought the big tanks and put them in my house. And I, like, anybody who drank tap water, I was like, oh, fuck, you're just drinking poison. But then over time, I was like, I don't think the government would actively do anything to harm me. I don't think anybody who actually would is that cruel that they would actively suppress information that, like, somebody is poisoning your water supply. And so I've been drinking tap water for the last, like, 10 or so years. And now I'm like, I can't fucking trust anybody. Fuck you guys. I might be drinking literally poison.
So, I mean, I guess I don't know enough about perfluoro whatevers.
You don't really need to know. I mean, they said there's so much evidence. We've got the most, here's a quote. Even though we've got some of the most comprehensive human health data in existence, we still don't have federal enforceable standards for this drinking water. And they said that even they tried, there was other reports during the Obama administration and they didn't listen to them either. So it's not just Trump, I guess. It's like the EPA in general. If you remember, Scott Pruitt was the guy who, he was the head of the EPA that just quit, I think. He stepped down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, $1,000 tactical pants, Scott Pruitt.
$1,000 tactical pants?
Yeah.
I didn't hear. I just heard that he had a soundproof chamber built in his office because, I mean, what the fuck? It's because he's so – this is the kind of – like, I don't really get political, you know. I kind of do, but, like – I literally want to kill this guy. Like, I want to, like, these people are pure evil. They're finding out that the people that are fighting in the military for them, like, the people who are like, these are people who protect our lives, they're poisoning their fucking babies who live on the military base. And they're like, ooh, this will be a little bit of a bad news day, so we don't want to tell anybody.
That's sound. Well, I'll tell you what's
going on. What's that sound?
What's that?
What's that sound?
Sorry, I was peppering my chicken.
Yeah, it's really loud.
My bad. Sorry. I thought it was okay because you were getting so mad.
No.
I don't think you'd notice.
No, I heard it. It was really loud.
So recently, I moved to a new apartment, and my old apartment had really good water. All my apartments had really good water. But here at this place, I think they have one of those like really old school on top of the thing water towers or whatever.
Yeah,
and the water was not good. It is definitely shady. And I had to get one of those Brita filters, but I'm really not sure that, like, it's, you know, I don't know what actually it filters out. It tastes a lot better, I will say that, though.
Yeah, I heard this story on Science Friday from, like, a couple weeks ago, and at the end, the person who was on was like, if you get a charcoal filter, it'll help with a lot of this stuff. So, like, I think that's what Brita filters are, right?
Yes, that's the other activated charcoal.
Yeah, but it's like, fuck you. Like, I don't – just clean it up. Like, make some standards and, like, it make me be able to trust my tap water. Like, I just
yeah.
– I hate being a tinfoil hat person and, like, mistrusting everybody, but this doesn't help at all.
Can't we just put some fucking charcoal, like, you know, in the pipes?
I don't really. I think you would, sort of, at some point.
Just sprinkle it down in there.
I think it would be. I don't know where at the water treatment plants they would have to do. I don't really know. I'm not really sure what the processes are, but it's just like so rude.
Did they say where this is coming from? Like where the source of this chemical contamination is coming from? Sorry.
They said on military bases, it's because they do a lot of exercises where they're like putting out fires using this foam.
Oh.
This foam.
So it goes back into the ground.
And
basically?
So it goes back in, yeah, pretty much, I think. Like into the sewers and into the ground. And then I guess however they treat the water doesn't remove that.
If I was in the military and I heard about this, I'd be like, I'm done.
Yeah, I know.
I'd be like, all right, yeah, I gave you guys, you know, I gave you enough. And. Yeah, I would be only drinking Fiji water after that. That's for sure.
Yeah, the new.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, there's a new EPA head in there. He's actually from Ohio. He
shout out.
Yeah, he went to Case Western, but he seems like just as big as a dick as this previous guy. So I don't think he's going to do anything. It's just like. It's just rude. It's just like they're just like whatever the corporations want us to do, that's what we're doing, and this would be bad news for them, so we're not saying anything.
I mean, there's poison in the water, and you know, you breathe in the air, and there's poison in the air.
It's actually also poison. Like, look, we dropped Daryl Sweat. We should get him back in here. But when we come back, I'm gonna tell you why not only your fucking tap water is poison. But your air is poisoned, and we're not talking about just in cities, not in just like LA smog, it's bad for you. No, we're saying in the John Muir, pure as hell, Yosemite trails up in the national parks, in many national parks, there is smog at the same levels as big cities. Rude. Hold on, we'll be right back. Are you riding? Say you never ever leave from beside me. Cause I want you, and I need you, and I'm down for you always. Two bad bitches and we kissing in a way. Kissing, kissing in a way. Kissing, kissing in a way. And we're back on Science Thursday, the only Drake-themed science podcast.
That's right. If you like rhymes, and you like science, you're in the right place.
All right. Before we went on a break, I told you the air was poison. Let me talk about what's actually going on there.
I mean, what can we do? We're fucked, is basically what we're getting at.
Yeah, pretty much. This article comes to you from Scientific American. Visiting a national park this summer? Hold your breath! And this hits me in the fucking gut. I'm mad as hell today. Like, all three of us.
Right in the...
What?
Sorry, go ahead.
In the nut? This is...
Stop stepping on each other's toes here. Jeez.
We'll just keep doing this for like 20 minutes. No, you go ahead.
Yeah, but...
Okay. We like to be really polite on this show, so...
All right, we're going camping. The thing is, all three of us, Zach, Evan, me, we're going camping in Yosemite in less than a month from now, and we're getting all psyched about it. I'm excited. Like, one of the things I think about when I'm out there is I'm like, the fresh air. This totally. Is the real shit. This is the good shit. Turns out that was a placebo. I was breathing garbage air last year when we were there. Here's reading from this article. America's national parks might seem like an obvious refuge from city smog. Not so, according to new research that finds that popular parks' levels of ozone, a major air pollutant, match those of the country's largest metropolitan areas. Ozone is a complicated gas. It can be beneficial or harmful to humans depending on where it is in the atmosphere. Six times above the surface, naturally occurring ozone layer blocks most of the sun's cancer-causing ultraviolet rays. But at ground level, where we live and breathe, the gas poses respiratory hazards. The surface ozone level forms via reactions among nitrogen oxides and volatile organic compounds in vehicle exhaust as byproducts of industrial processes. So pretty much when we pollute in the city, it's drifting all over.
I know a little bit about this, actually. I was listening to an incredible McElroy podcast called Sawbones, you know, the medical podcast.
Yeah.
Sydney and Justin do.
Yeah, I've listened to a couple apps.
They recently did one on ozone. And see, this is a real problem because, like, it would be one thing if it was, like, dust or, you know, something that gets in your lungs that sort of, like, gunks up your lungs like smoking does, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or, you know, it just, like, dirties up your lungs. Like, you know, I live in New York City. It's obviously very dirty and dusty here.
Actually, they have clean air. They have clean air in New York, right? It's some of the cleanest air I've heard.
Actually, nice. Listen, I don't know about that. Well, either way.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It smells like trash 24/7. So. Either way. But what I was going to say, though, is that, like, unlike just, like, a regular contaminant, ozone actually, like, breaks down your cells. Like, your actual cells. It doesn't just gunk up your lungs. It, like, actually... destroys. It's very small, you know. It's like the
It gets you in your feelings.
It gets you in your feelings.
So ozone is like a compound?
It's oxygen 3. It's, you know, neutrons, I think.
Isn't it? It's like it's like a thing that's like volatile, right? Like it's sort of like it'll cause mutations. Is that right? Like sort of.
Yeah, it just from what I understand, it just flies, you know, right through your cell membranes, fucks up your DNA, and just, you know, fucks up all kinds of inside shit.
Yeah,
don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's just rude as hell. They said Joshua Tree is one of the most polluted national parks in the United States, and that's one of my favorite national parks.
I can't believe it matches the metropolitan areas. Like, I don't get how that's fucking possible.
They say it just goes up there, just close enough.
What do you mean it just goes up there?
Just
what,
like,
is there a fucking,
just like on the
is
wind?
Is there a wind?
It's like in the article it said it's like the way it moves around is not exactly understood, but it just moves around.
Huh.
From what I remember.
Yeah, they just take the 5 and, you know, they just go right up and right in through. Yeah. I mean, they pay the same park entrance fees as everyone else, but.
Were we talking about going to Olympic National Park at one point this year?
Olympia in Washington.
This says that there are some national parks that still have clean air. Olympic and Glacier National Parks are very clean, they say.
Oh, I think I went to Glacier 2 years ago.
Where was that?
Bro, I don't even know. We drove every single day for 2 weeks.
Hitting national
parks.
Damn. No, Glacier is one that I really want to go to.
Where is it?
I'm not sure where. There's like Montana or some shit. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I guess I have a limited ability to criticize here. I'm looking at my desk right now, and I have a bootleg Juul pod that I'm about to insert into my vape and then vape it.
Nice.
Is that, what do you mean? Do you think that's really, are you saying you're a polluter?
No, I'm not saying I'm a polluter. I'm saying I don't really have any ground to stand on to be like, the air is polluted as I like suck on this mystery juice.
Yeah, it's different though, right?
That's true.
Glacier National Park is in Montana. It's in the Montana Rocky Mountains.
Yeah.
Soon enough, that place will be completely contaminated too. So
it's just rude as hell, right?
I mean, I really just hate that now that I know that, I'm just going to be thinking about that.
I know. Well, last year there's like, not to mention all the fires going on around Yosemite.
Right. And there's fires going on right now.
And they said,
how intense are the fires?
I think they were worse last year, but still really bad.
Yeah. What were they saying?
Just that they're going again. Yeah. It's like big. It's in the news again, just how bad they are.
I mean, I think it's just this time of year.
Yeah. I mean, fires are natural.
Right.
And so like in some ways it needs to burn, but I mean, I think it's burning more than it needs to. But yeah, it's like
maybe the parks are like, you know what, we're fucking done. We're fucking burn this bitch to the ground.
They do that sometimes.
There are, yeah, the controlled burns.
Yeah,
they happen for sure.
Well, right. I'm talking about just like, you know, nature itself is saying like, fuck you. Like, we're gonna destroy ourselves so no one can.
I've always loved Japanese narratives of nature getting pissed and, sending natural disasters after us.
I had read this. I was reading this stuff last night, and then I was watching Blade Runner 2045, the new one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, yep, that's what it's going to look like pretty soon. We're not that far from just, like, gray world.
I did a lot of research on the jacket he was wearing. I decided it wasn't cool.
It was a really cool jacket.
It was a cool jacket, and then I found this forum of people who there's like one place where they make a reproduction jacket, and I saw it on a bunch of chubby white guys, and I was like, less interested. Like in real life, like with iPhone pictures, and I was like, no.
I mean, you could probably pull it off.
I could definitely pull it off, but. You know, it's just not the same when you're not, you know, being filmed on an incredible like anamorphic lens with an incredible color grade on top.
Yeah. I couldn't agree
more. It did
look
really good.
Do you think that people will start caring about water and air quality again ever? Or are we just going to ruin the environment to own the libs?
I would like to think that it's going to become.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
Yeah, I would like to think that it's going to get, we're going to get more active about it, but I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, it, like, people need to get, you know, people need to hear this kind of stuff, and it's going to make them crazy. And I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is that, like, you know, the sort of diseases that you can get from contaminated water, contaminated air are not, you know, it's not something where you like get sick for a couple weeks and then get better. It's ones where you're like 50 and they're like, well, you have cancer now. It's really bad.
Yeah. Like, This the person who was saying the thing that everyone's distracted, she was a person that was exposed to it in the 80s. As far as 3,400 times above maximum contaminant levels. She has like a bunch of like terminal diseases. She has brain tumor, skin cancer, and breast cancer, as well as serious medical problems that affect all of her children. And she's, it's like, yeah, all of her, like, everybody in her family's sick, and she's like pretty sure it's this. But like you said, like, it's hard to really trace it back to this. Like, it's not like you can't draw a straight line, because like
you can't, you can't draw a straight line like to like the black lung,
yeah,
for example.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, exactly. Like, my grandfather, my grandfather died at, like, 65 from lung cancer. And for the longest time, I thought it was because he smoked, and I'm sure that was definitely a contributing factor. But I only pieced it together later that he, like, worked in a GE factory during the 70s before they had, like, any real, you know, or like, they had any real understanding of, like, regulation,
health problems associated,
OSHA and all that different stuff.
Yeah, I can't imagine what kind of chemicals they had in there.
I used to work on roofs. I was a roofer for a while, and just because you mentioned OSHA, like,
yeah,
the people that worked on the roof, like, they hated OSHA, like, fucking OSHA. Because they would, like, you know, like, because they would make you, like, do things to standards.
Right.
But it was funny, like, these super blue-collar guys are just so pissed at, like, you know, like, these regulations.
Because they're, like, they think they're, like, cowboys. Like we don't need rules, man. If I want to wear, pollute my lungs, I'll pollute my lungs.
We've been putting tar on the roof for freaking 25 years doing it this way, and it works just fine. Oh, that's just funny to remind me, but I mean, speaking of camping,
yeah,
and
imagine we're out on the trail this summer, and you can't bring a lot of foods that not perishable foods. You bring a lot of trail mix, you bring granola, you bring things that can be dried. A classic trail food, beef jerky.
Yummy.
We actually did we bring beef jerky last year?
I think Ricky had bought
maybe a little bit,
bought like a bag at one point.
It's very,
but we were not.
It's extremely expensive.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I love beef jerky, but it turns out beef jerky causes mania. What? Beef jerky and other processed meats associated with manic episodes.
Well, this explains.
So, basically, they were like, these scientists have been trying to look for genetic factors for people with bipolar disorder and other conditions like that, and they're not finding any luck. There doesn't seem to be like a gene associated with this, and so now they're like, there must be something in their environment. Like, what's the common factor in these people's lives that they all share that could be causing their mania? And they've boiled it down to beef jerky.
They've salted it up to meat snacks.
And it's there's like a thing you use to dry the meat, nitrates.
Yeah. Oh God.
So yeah, they said before this, so they looked at like a bunch of records and they were able to see this was true, that the people that the findings of the John Hopkins Medicine Association, which was not designed to determine cause and effect, were published July 18th in Molecular Psychiatry. Specifically, it found that people hospitalized for an episode of mania had more than three times the odds of having ever eaten nitrate cured meats than people without a history of serious psychiatric disorder. So yeah, they just, for some reason, like, I don't know if it's like you are maybe predisposed to it and then like the hot dog like activates your mania. I don't know if it's that. Like, I don't know if
whatever you do, don't give him hot dogs.
This is really interesting because apparently one of the, you know, one little piece of folklore from my childhood is apparently when I was a little baby, I loved hot dogs. And considering how fucked up I am now, it makes perfect sense.
I mean, I ate a lot of hot dogs too.
I think everyone did.
They said that these amount of nitrates, importantly, the amount. So they did a bunch of experiments with rats and they made the rats crazy. They fed them like beef jerky and the rats like stayed up late and like, yeah, they were more hyper. And
they wanted to stay up late later playing video games.
They said it comes
back to video games.
They said they worked with a local beef jerky manufacturer to create a nitrate free dried beef to like just to test to make sure it wasn't like the beef jerky itself. It was the nitrates.
Is it like these bigger, like crazy, like factories that are using like nitrates? Because going back to my roofing days, I once was patching a roof on like a Hillshire Farms like warehouse like / fucking factory, and oh my god, it smelled like absolute shit. It was disgusting. And I think I remember someone said, oh yeah, it's the nitrates. Mm. And I'm like, the fuck are nitrates, and why do they smell like rotting like fucking animals?
Well, here's the thing, guys, is that the major ingredient in fertilizer is ammonium nitrate. Mm. And you know, they use that in all kinds of it is the fertilizer. Like, they use it on almost all commercial farms. Mm.
Is that the same? Would that be the same thing? Ammonium nitrates?
Well, it is a nitrate, but I don't think in this article they designate which nitrate they're talking about.
Yeah.
So there are other beef jerkies that we can have that are not going to make us crazy?
No, right? I don't think so. You'd have to use their special nitrate free dried beef that they made with their collaboration.
No, I don't think that's true. They've been doing dried meats for like a thousand
without
years.
Nitrates?
Right.
Just salt.
Don't they just like smoke it or something? And like,
yeah, smoking it. They douse it. You know, they just rub it with salt.
Could we make hot dogs without nitrates, you think?
Well, I don't think they'd be cost. But the whole point of hot dogs is they cost like 10 cents a hot dog.
I ate hot dogs last week.
Maybe you should start eating brats, you know, instead.
But I don't know if I have mania after I eat hot dogs. But another thing I was thinking is like, you know,
I disagree. I've been around you when you beat hot dogs. You just don't realize it.
No, what I was thinking too is like the Snap Into a Slim Jim commercials were like honest ads.
Fucking crazy.
Snap Into a Slim Jim!
Yeah. That guy seemed like he was just coked out of his mind.
No, he was on nitrates.
Oh man, did you guys see the gigantic profile on the Papa John guy that came out today?
No.
It's
John Schnatter.
Schnatter, that's right. He became a pizza despot. Sorry, that's not science related, but.
well, he became what?
So he became a pizza despot.
What the fuck does that mean?
Pizza authoritarian. Oh,
I forgot to say something in this article that leads to the next one, actually. Is that they said that the nitrates fucked up their gut biome, like their microbiome in their gut. They said the guts of the rats that were eating the nitrates were totally different than the ones that didn't. And they think there's some real connection between the gut bacteria, your microbiome, and your brain states. And that leads to the next thing on my list, like really well. It was kind of crazy. And it was a lot of these were actually like really big stories. Like they had a lot of hits. relative for science, but yeah, pretty much another thing they're looking at in the microbiome is they think that the microbiome of the mother, like a pregnant mother, determines whether a baby is autistic. So
that's a huge claim.
Yeah, it is a huge claim.
Damn.
But the microbiome is kind of like the last like 5 to 10-ish years have been really big on the microbiome, right?
Yes.
We started paying, like, that's why a lot of drinks are still like saying probiotics, living cultures, this drink's alive. Kombucha. I drank some kombucha the other day.
Good for you.
Nice job.
I've been drinking. Do you guys try to drink things or eat things that take care of your microbiome?
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of kombucha because I had a very bad roommate one time that was brewing kombucha in our kitchen / refrigerator. But, you know, nice yogurt is good.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you this.
Is it just gross? Is that why you didn't like it?
No, I've actually never
smelled bad.
Yeah, it smelled horrible.
Oh, you never even tried? Oh, yeah. I was interested in doing my own like kombucha.
I love kombucha.
Just make sure you get your the problem is it just looks like fermented shit in a big jar, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I open up my fridge and I'm just like, a tasty jar of shit right there in my fridge. Really appetizing.
It's good. But try some.
I will try some. But here's what I'll say about microbiomes is my dad has had he got a hip replacement back when he was like my age, actually, like almost 30.
Is there any reason why? Or...
Yeah. He had a track and field accident. He was a pole vaulter, and that was actually before they had the big Velcro strips in the bottom of the pads. And so he was being an athlete, try hard, and he went out for some extra practice after practice. Didn't realize the pad had slipped out after the whole practice, and then just pole vaulted and hit the ground and just destroyed his head.
Fuck.
And it was before they had reliable X-rays too, so the doctor just basically told him he was being a pussy. And he then ran like thousands of miles for a couple of years in college on a hip bone that was like split. And, it scooped out the cartilage in his hip, and that was that. But after he had his hip replaced, he got sick way, way, way more often. And we always kind of thought that he was, being a hypochondriac or something, you know, just like freaked out over nothing.
As a hypochondriac, that sounds like a nightmare.
Yes. Then we got all this research about the microbiome, and one of the things that we read about and that his doctors talked to him about was the fact that when he had his hip replacement, he was on such heavy antibiotics at the time that it probably wiped out his entire microbiome. And from there on out, people had like pretty irritable bowels, like getting sick in situations where none of the rest of us were really sick at all. Like, I am not a scientist, well, I do not know if this is the exact cause, but. I'm really glad they're researching stuff because just of the amount, you have, like, when they say your microbiome, it's like, oh, cool, we have a couple of bacteria in our gut that are, like, pretty neat, but, like, a very significant amount of your body mass is actually bacteria.
Yeah. It's really crazy. It's not only in your gut, it's in your intestines. You like work with a lot of creatures, and remember that the fecal transplants?
Yes.
Did your dad ever do anything? Did he ever get like a fecal transplant
He has literally talked about it. He wants to get it.
Can you not get it? Is it still experimental?
I think it is still experimental. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because they said in this article, they're like, luckily, it's easy. Like. The easy solution is just like, I guess when somebody finds out they're pregnant, they should like go like take some probiotics and maybe get a fecal transplant. Just like have a healthy microbiome and your baby should be fine. I don't know.
So but, is your dad still like active? Like, can he still run or not really?
He tries. Actually, he just recently got a new, I'll tell you guys this. So he had to have like hip replacements are only made for 20 years because usually they're given to people who are like 60 years old and
right
you know, you're probably going to die soon afterwards, you know? So he had to go get another one, and surgery has gotten so much better that, like, when he got his first hip replacement, he was literally down in a chair for months. And with his new hip replacement, they had this, like, really small incision, and he was walking, like, basically the next day. And, like, the doctors were fine with that. They're like, yeah, if you feel good enough to walk, you're good to go, man. Rock and roll.
Wow. That's crazy. That is crazy.
It's pretty tight. I mean, basically what that means is, like, if we can be healthy for, like, another 20 years or something like that, we're set. We're good to go.
Like, oh, I hope so. I hope, like, I'm like, you think that we're going to be, like, some pretty active old people?
I mean, I certainly plan on it. That's how you, well, people die because they get fat.
Yeah.
I have nothing against people who are obese or, you know, have extra weight, like, obviously. But it's, you know, my mother's a nurse and my boyfriend is a med student. And, like, just ask anyone who's a medical professional, like, being overweight is so bad for your health.
Yeah. I'm kind of a health freak, so I don't think I'll ever be fat, but I also have, we have very thin genes, so. Yeah, yeah. I gave my DNA data to 23andMe, and so, sorry, I made that mistake, but they told me I had Olympian muscles.
By the way, 23andMe will actually delete your data if you delete your account.
Oh, really? You think they're not lying about that?
Yes, I had somebody who works at 23andMe, product manager at 23andMe, respond to one of my tweets and said, yes, this does work because I literally programmed it. So, yeah.
Wow, cool. That's nice of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it is really, you know what I thought about when I was thinking about the microbiome? Is, did you hear that thing about how, like, trees work with all of the mycelium, like the fungus in the ground?
I did hear that.
The world wood web or something, or the wood wide web. Like the tree internet is like fungus, and that they give a lot of their resources to the fungus. Like most of their sugars and shit that they get, that they process using photosynthesis, are like handed over to the mushrooms so that they can communicate with other trees.
I also heard that they are aware of their kin. Like, they will share resources with any tree that's around them in their sort of root cluster, but they prefer to give resources to their own.
Oh, yeah, tree. We were talking about that last week, that plants will like, choose their, like, siblings and, like, genetically related just relatives over, like, random trees. But, like, these weird polyps would accept anybody no matter what their genetics.
It's pretty cool. We were talking about, like, when you take mushrooms, it, like, connects, it disinhibits all the differences in your brain, and that's why you just not freak out.
You think, I know, I think about that, too. I'm like, is this, like, a mushroom, like, connecting different parts of my brain? I don't think so. You really think that? Actually, I have a thing about drugs coming up here.
No, I think that makes perfect sense. Yeah, but let's make that transition.
Yeah, I was just saying, it's kind of weird, like, trees communicate with, like, the mycelium and stuff, and we have these, like, just bugs inside of us that we probably give a lot of our resources to.
Oh, hell yeah, absolutely.
And that's why they might be so connected with us. Like, they're, like, half of us. Like, they get a vote in how we act a little bit. So, yeah.
You think my microbiome made me gay?
What do you mean? Oh. I don't think
so. Wait, look, what'd you say? Maybe.
I said, do you think my microbiome made me gay?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could've. I wouldn't say no.
I can't say no either, so that's
double verify.
Yeah, so this is a new report about psychedelics promoting structural and functional neurite growth, neurogenesis. Sorry, this is like Windows covering up this.
Is it an advertisement?
Oh, functional neuroplasticity. So, like, I've been really into this for a long time. It's just basically that.
Are you on health and medicine or
futurity.com?
Oh, yeah. So that's like, there's like two links. There's one link to that, and then there's one Futurity. The one link is like to the link to the like report itself, like the actual report. And that one's like a write up about the report. There's some cool diagrams of the report. You should check it out.
Oh, I'm seeing it now.
Yeah. Like, so pretty much the idea, like you were saying just a second ago, Evan, how like it opens up your mind to like thinking other ways. That's almost like literally what they're saying this is doing.
And, oh, wow.
They say that a lot of like the problems with depression and, different types of PTSD and stuff is that you get your neurons die and your dendrites die off, which are like the connections. If you like dendrite is like I think it's like related to the word branch, like tree branch. Those are like the branches between your cells, and those are like communication between cells, and they say those die off. And so you sort of get stuck in, like, if you really think about it, like the people that get stuck in like a rut, like they just have like one
what do you mean, like a rut, like get depressed or something?
Yeah, get depressed, but it's almost like they can't see out.
They have like dendrite dystrophy.
It is. Their dendrites die off, their brain cells die off, and they sort of get stuck in like a pattern of thought. You know what I mean?
So you like get you're like caught in the same chain or something.
Exactly. I mean, this is like me adding a little bit of my own shit to it, but I'm pretty sure this is what they mean.
Yeah.
So they have been using ketamine recently to grow back dendrites and neurites and a few other things, just a few other things that are like
Special K.
Yeah, they've been using ketamine, but then this report was like, we want to try a few other psychedelics, and so they tried.
They're like, we're bored of ketamine. Like, let's like do something else.
They tried DMT, LSD, MDMA, which is like ecstasy, and also DOI, which is one I hadn't heard of, but they were like, it's a good one. But LSD grew dendrites way better than anything else. LSD was like really like the rock star of neural growth.
Wow.
But the interesting thing about this is like the thing that made me learn about this was like that video I did when I was at The Verge about curing PTSD with ecstasy, with MDMA. And they were talking about how like MDMA plus, they were really, really pounded in the fact that you can't just like do ecstasy. You have to go into like therapy and like work on like the things you're afraid of or whatever while you're on the drug. And it helps you think in new ways. And like, it's like sort of like this therapy combined with this drug that increases this neural growth and neuroplasticity just accelerates a lot of those processes.
Oh, I should microdose on mushrooms while we're out hiking.
Yeah, you could. And they said they came up with a new term in this paper. Here's the quote. To classify the growing number of compounds capable of rapidly promoting induced plasticity, we introduced the term psychoplastogen from the Greek roots psych, meaning mind, plast, meaning molded, and gen, meaning producing. Our work strengthens the growing body of literature indicating that psychoplastogens capable of promoting plasticity in the PFC, the prefrontal cortex, might have value as fast-acting antidepressants and anxiolytics, which I guess is like anti-anxiety. So this is just like, yeah.
The major bummer here is that we probably could have had all these insights 20 years ago if there was a blanket ban on research.
Yeah, and they were finding these things out like. There was like a lot of underground psychology and stuff where people were doing this stuff all along, but it could have been mainstream. That could have been us, but we playing.
Yep.
I was actually talking about this is not exactly related to LSD, but like other psychoactive drugs. Like, when do you think are mushrooms going to become legal in the US? You know, because they're like legal in Amsterdam, and like, you know, people are starting to like
there was, we went to that one coffee shop in Venice that was like very, like they were like mushrooms are like good for your brain pretty much.
Yeah. I think that like things like this, reports like this, when it becomes something that's used for antidepressants and stuff, I think people will then also start doing it more. What is it called? Like,
yeah, as long as there's scientific evidence
recreationally
that there are therapeutic uses, it's just chipping away at the sort of puritanical ideas on the war on drugs.
Yeah. I think it will be normal. But the thing is, that's crazy, is I've heard that that too much neurogenesis, or whatever this is called, like growing dendrites, can also be just as bad as like the reduction of them, because you kind of go crazy. Like with like, it's kind of just imagine like a garden just like full of weeds, and like every plant's imagine, connected to every other plant.
Just imagine the end of Akira, but in your brain.
I didn't see it, but I bet you're right.
Wow. You know, the end of... have neither of you guys seen Akira?
No.
Oh man, come on, guys.
What is that?
I don't really like the anime aesthetic. That's why.
Well, first of all, we could come back to that later. But Akira, you need to watch it. If you have any interest in films, or you like just the concept of films, you need to watch Akira. It is just a groundbreaking film that was so informative to science fiction in just so many different ways, and it has like twice the frames of any other animated movie. It's just like the quality of the animation is still unmatched.
Is this new?
No, it's from the 80s.
I don't think I've seen it.
I'll check it out, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch one anime thing in your whole life, please make it Akira. All
right.
I've watched a handful. I saw Howl's Moving Castle. I like that one.
It's pretty sight.
Yes, I actually watched Yuri on Ice last year.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah, hell yeah. Yuri on Ice is so wholesome. Not related to brain psychology. Nah. But,
Do you want to know like one of the coolest things about dendrites?
Yes.
I just like the sound of dendrites.
I know. It's cool to look at these diagrams too, of like, here's what DMT did to it, and here's what else, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of some
like
cool graphics.
You're like looking at it, you're like, I knew this is what was happening.
But so the thing about dendrites is you get a lot when you're a baby. Your head's just full of weeds. You're just connected all over the place. And over the course of your life, I think it's after age 3, I want to say, don't quote me on that, but somewhere around there, you start hacking away and like saying, I don't need that one. I don't need that one. It's basically like deleting until a certain age.
Wow. Crazy, taking the weed whacker.
You got to prune. Yeah, you got to prune the drites.
Yeah. I guess that's why babies learn so fast. And it's like, I don't know. I guess there's a good balance of how many.
I guess when you grow, when you like develop, you're basically like putting, you know, you're concreting certain dendrites, and you probably just lose the other ones, you know?
Yeah, it's weird that it's like a subtractive process. It's almost like sculpting like a sculpture. Like you start with a block, and you're like, here's what I don't need.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah. Speaking of babies,
oldest baby snake.
What the fuck?
Speaking of this is a new thing that just came out. Yeah, they found the oldest baby snake in a thing of amber, just like Jurassic Park, like the Jurassic Park mosquitoes. Did you go to the
nice
link?
Yeah, I'm on it now.
Yeah, it looks just like that. It looks like a really not nice version of the amber from Jurassic Park. It's kind of dirty.
Yeah.
This looks like a more realistic version of what it probably
100 million years ago.
Yeah, they said it's not only the oldest. This fossil is the first baby snake and the oldest baby snake yet to be found.
Wow.
So it's like it's cool. It's not only, like they said, they don't even have like shitty fossils of snakes from this time, but this is like an awesome one.
Wow. Damn.
Man, can you imagine? Can you even imagine? I hope, did they say that they're going to go in there and get tissue samples and shit?
I don't know if they already did that. Well, I think that they've scanned it, right? They've used a CT scanner. I guess they haven't cracked it open yet, but maybe, you know. Why wouldn't you? You got to get in there. Yeah. You got to sample that snake.
I mean, oh, man, that's just so cool. I wonder what they can find out.
Yeah.
Well, whenever they do find it out, we'll be the first ones on it.
That's right.
That's for damn sure.
We'll keep you posted on this baby snake. Well, I'll make sure that...
story, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not much to say else about the baby snake. I just thought it was
still
nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, at least, you know, usually, you know, you hear snakes, you know, biting people, you know, end up killing people. But killer bots.
They're just hanging out.
You're trying to get to killer bots. You ever thought that maybe the government would develop like a snake bot that could like go through your pipes, come up to your plumbing, and then like kill you by like slithering up your butt and just like exploding?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Well, Elon Musk said he would never build such a robot. Him and a bunch of other people who work in AI at this conference, the International Joint Conference on Artificial Intelligence in Stockholm. They all signed a pledge.
And like they to said, be at that one.
Yeah, they said we're not going to do it. Let me read some of it. I'll just read the first like two sentences. Artificial intelligence, AI, is poised to play an increasing role in military systems. There's an urgent opportunity and necessity for citizens, policymakers, and leaders to distinguish between acceptable and unacceptable uses of AI. In this light, we the undersigned agree that the decision to take a human life should never be delegated to a machine. Skipping ahead here, thousands of AI researchers agree that by removing the risk of attributability and difficulty of taking human lives, lethal autonomous weapons could become powerful instruments of violence and oppression, especially when linked with surveillance and data systems. So they just like, we're drawing a line. We're not going to create it.
I mean, no
autonomous bots, no Terminators.
I mean, they could fucking say it and sign every fucking document there is, but I don't believe that for one second.
Well, notably, Boeing is not on this list. Boeing declined to sign this list.
Oh, really? Did you see that?
Yeah, I don't know if that was
somebody pointed that out.
Yeah, I don't. I think that may have been in our reporting or maybe The Verge's reporting. I can't remember, but yeah.
And they're working on killer bots?
I mean, yeah, Boeing makes a fuck ton of high-tech weapons.
Yeah. I'm like scrubbing through the list and I don't really know any of these names. It's not like AI people or celebrities except for Elon. Elon Musk isn't even really an AI. Like, I guess his self-driving car is a bit.
That's not true. He has that other company, Neuralink.
Oh yeah. What are they even up to though? Nothing.
Well, it's pretty underground. Nobody knows anything about Neuralink. I mean, Elon Musk is a total shitball, but...
At the moment.
I'm glad that he is trying to find a way to interface human minds and computers.
But I guess I was watching, at the same time, I was watching fucking Blade Runner 2045. I'm like, well, he's an AI and he's killing... Can he kill people or no? Can Ryan Gosling kill people in that movie? All right. I guess that they followed through.
That movie is so... good and so boring at the same time.
Yeah, I was half watching it. I was just like enjoying the imagery and sounds, actually.
Yeah, that's the thing. You just got to put it up on a big TV and you're like, this is just it's just an artwork on my wall now.
I love the sound of his car. Wow. Like, I hate cars now. Like, people that drive down the street, like, wow! It doesn't sound very good to me, but his car sounds like a synth.
So good.
Wow.
I bought that movie in 4K, and I have no way to watch it.
Not even on your laptop?
Nope. Got a 1080p laptop.
Oh.
I know.
If anybody out there would like to donate a 4K screen, let us know.
Preferably HDR. Actually, there's no excuse. Like, you can get a 4K HDR TV for like $300 now. So
yeah, I got one for like $300 a couple weeks ago, actually.
Did you like it? Have you watched any 4K content on it?
Actually, I didn't like it. And I took it back.
Wait, did you really?
Yeah. I didn't think I liked it. I had a 1080p one too, and I was like, this doesn't look that much better.
Interesting. But did you, but when you were testing it, did you watch any 4K content on it?
Good point. I didn't. Wait, I think I did. I did. But I was like, whatever, dude.
Yeah, true.
It's at this point, it's like, we're getting into like the, what is it called? The audiophile territory. Like the people that can claim they can hear the differences between like bit rates and like FLACs.
Yeah, for sure. My TV is literally 6 feet away from my couch. It's like a 42-inch TV in this little alcove that I have for TV watching, and it's 1080p, and I literally cannot see the pixels. And my vision is great.
It's really like, yeah, like when can you not see the pixels?
Honestly, 4K is annoying. It's impossible for me to edit on my computer. It's great for zooming, though. Love it. Love to crop.
I don't know if there's anything else to say about these guys that signed this. I hope it works out.
Same. I mean, I guess speaking of pixels, you know, there's just a whole bunch of them. It's just like a big soup. which brings us to the next subject. Mummy soup. What does this mean?
That was my title for this section, mummy soup.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I saw this on Twitter and I was like disgusted. Like
I'm looking at it now and I'm like, holy shit.
This is from I'm gonna read from The Guardian, the propaganda outlet, as Kyle said. Huge Egyptian sarcophagus found to contain three mummies. Archaeologists open granite tomb but are dismayed at the state of decay after sewage leak. So they cracked open this big sarcophagus, but it has sewage leaked in it, and it looks disgusting.
Oh my god!
It looks just like they left it on the slow burn cooker for like way too many days.
100,000 years.
Yeah, the skeletons are still. I guess you can see the bones. They're a little bit broken up, but like it's just like a soup. It's like a thick, chunky soup.
Where is this?
Can you imagine being in the afterlife and being like, wow, tight that my body is just stewing and shit?
Well, the sewage only happened like within the last like probably 100 years, right? It's sewage.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
Like it's like, I don't know, maybe not.
How the fuck did it get in there?
Just garbage water leaking down there, I guess. I don't really know.
Oh my god.
Good question.
They had the dumpster just right on top of it.
It's so gross. They thought that it was going to be a really famous mummy. People were like saying, "Don't open it. You're going to get cursed."
Yeah.
And I guess they did kind of a curse because they're gross.
Guess you know what I'm excited about?
What's that?
This picture I just put in the chat. I can't wait when we go to Yosemite to take this absolutely cliched picture, wide angle picture from behind.
I wonder where this is.
If you're on the phone, it's like a classic Yosemite valley, and just like a guy looking out the valley. Yeah, we're gonna take a lot of pics like this.
Oh yeah,
so good. I can't wait to bolster my personal brand with these pictures that literally every other person has taken.
The thing about it, have you heard that, like, there's an article going around about, like, end of the world traveling or something like that, like going to places that you know are going to be completely demolished by global warming within a few years, so this is your last chance to see it.
Oh, that's interesting. No, I had not. I know.
I think there's, like, a lot of that, like, when people go to, like, on Alaska cruises and stuff, because, like, all the glaciers up there melting. But this is kind of like that.
A high level of self-awareness that I'm just not sure the general populace has.
Well, we're about to do it. Like, really, like, the High Sierra mountains that we're going to, like, I don't really know how much longer they're going to look like they do. I think they're going to look like trash pretty soon.
Probably. Well, they're going to fucking burn down.
True.
I'm so mad. anyway, did you go? If you go to the bottom of that, the article with the mummies, you can see a guy pouring the mummy juice out in the street.
Oh. Hold on, like... I gotta fucking see this. Oh, is this the video on the top?
No, if you go to the very bottom of the article, it's like, it says, you can see this video here of a guy pouring the mummy juice out in the street.
And it goes, I don't see it. Where the fuck is this link?
It's the very last thing in that that article.
I don't see it either.
In the Guardian article?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying
that. Video footage from the news website showed is a link. Showed a man pouring the red liquid into the street. Because it's like a red juice that came out of these mummies, or that was like surrounding these mummies.
They should have kept, they should have kept it.
Oh, like, my God.
It doesn't it seem like they should have done something with that mummy juice?
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck are you going to do?
It just looks like piss. Honestly, it just looks like very dank piss.
Oh, yeah, true.
I like that there's just no, you know, people just going about their day, just walking by.
Through the mummy juice. He's not wearing gloves.
Like, what the fuck is that?
How much money would it take for you to drink one cup of mummy juice?
I mean, I have to make sure I'm not how. I have to make sure how like if I want, well, I'm not going to get like deathly ill.
Yeah, if it's not actual poison.
But I would say
probably better than our tap water. it's probably cleaner than most of the tap waters on military bases.
What if it gave you like mummy powers?
Oh, I'd probably drink it.
You guys ever see that cartoon show back in the late 90s, early 2000s, Mummies Alive?
No, never heard of it.
Well, first of all, it has the most rockin' theme song I've ever fucking heard in my life. Hold on one second.
Mummies Alive.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'll play it.
Yeah, you got it.
Hold on, I'm gonna put it on my big speaker here. Yeah, it sounds like a Power Man 5000 track.
Yeah, that's cool. I could definitely work out to that track.
That's a cool intro too. Just lots of Egyptian stuff.
It's pretty tight. It's a pretty tight show. I think it stands the test of time. That and Gargoyles really peak of the genre back then.
I'm gonna have to go back and check those out.
Gargoyles was the main guy in Gargoyles was voiced by the same guy as Batman the Animated Series. So,
damn,
I didn't. I feel like I kind of avoided those too. Actually, like those kind of shows. I wasn't really like a really like I didn't like the things that most boys liked.
Fair enough.
Except for Power Rangers, I guess I really liked those.
I mean, I guess maybe you just found yourself in an isolation more so than watching these.
True. I think it's true. We a lot of times when you think about like. Social animals, you think about how they relate to each other. If you were to get an animal that's highly social, like say a chimpanzee, you would want it to be introduced to other chimpanzees. You'd want it to be a part of that whole, and you'd worry about it if it wasn't connected. But scientists are starting to look into what the function of isolation might be in animals.
Really?
The title of this article is Social Isolation, Animals That Break Away from the Pack Can Influence Evolution. And I don't know who did this study. I'll read this little bit of it. It says, for some animals, such as beetles, ants, toads, and primates, short-term social isolation can be just as vital as social interaction to development and long-term evolution. Evolutionary biologists describe approaches for testing how animals' isolation might impact natural selection and evolution. This framework can help design more effective breeding, reintroduction, and conservation strategies. So, Yeah, it's kind of cool. They give a few, like, you know what it makes me, in humans, what it makes me think of is like a vision quest.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
You know, like Native Americans sometimes do it, where like you take a bunch of like psychedelics. This is kind of relates to the other thing too, where you just like go off on your own journey, and take a bunch of psychedelics sometimes, and your isolation and your it's a journey that like is supposed to be really meaningful, and then when you return to the group, you're like a different person, and you have a different relationship with everyone.
You like find yourself or something.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I saw a recent article about how a wolf just left Chernobyl. It broke away from its pack to find a new place to live out of Chernobyl. It left its pack to go establish a new pack.
Well,
outside of Chernobyl. I just were happy. We're really happy about that because they were. Like, okay, good. The wildlife is like really recovering inside of Chernobyl.
Where is Chernobyl?
I don't know if it's actually Russian. It is that place where there was some kind of nuclear thing that happened.
Yeah, right. There's a nuclear meltdown.
I'm just seeing this picture of this frog, and I'm just like, I'm like in my mind, they're just like taking these, like this frog, for example, but just putting it in like a little room by itself and just like playing like Dashboard Confessional, playing like a whole album and then releasing him back to like the other frog.
That's exactly what they did. Let me read about that frog. It's interesting. Cause like, I was like, okay, I like this premise, but like, give me some examples. And here's like one.
I'm also having like an ad for Warby Parker on this, so I'm just picturing this frog coming back like wearing some Warby Parkers.
Guys, I have really bad eyes. I've been hiding this from you. This is the real me. So it says the invasive cane toad of Australia, for instance, will venture off on its own to expand into new territory, but the isolation this causes drives an uncharacteristically strong attraction to members of the opposite sex upon the toad's return to his social environment. This boosts the likelihood of both communication and successful mating, which are necessary for the survival of the toads into new regions. So this means that social isolation itself provides the conditions for natural selection to favor adaptations to cope with it. So it's like, if he didn't go off by himself for a little bit, he wouldn't even get horny enough to want to fuck at all or as much.
I'm just imagining like this toad comes back, it's wearing some Warby Parkers, and all the girl toads are like, wow, he's really different now, he seems so much more mature.
And he's like, yeah, why don't you suck my dick, baby?
I went to you. Wow, okay.
Yeah, he's, I'm saying this guy is aggressive. I think this guy is like really like not cool about it. I think he probably like fucks hard and doesn't take no for an answer.
What were you gonna say there, Daryl? What he came back with his Warby Parkers and what?
Yeah, and he was just all the girl toes were just like, wow, he's so hot now.
Oh, okay.
They think he's different, but he's not.
Maybe
he is different though.
Yeah, maybe that's what the scientists discovered. He's not just fronting. He's actually better at fucking.
He ain't playing.
Yeah. They said like whenever you're on your own, like another big thing, like I feel like it's like along with like microbiomes and stuff is epigenetics, like how the environment can like turn on or off to things in your genetic code that can actually be passed on. So they're saying like times of isolation could actually like activate certain things. You know what I mean? Like if it's traditional for an animal to have a time of isolation, that time and those conditions might lead to like certain traits being turned on or off. You know what I mean?
A fuckability trait.
Yeah. They said also another example is when the poison European ant secludes itself from its kin until death. When poisoned, this one ant gets poisoned and then it walks off on its own so that it doesn't infect anybody else. So that's like another like functional isolation. So it's kind of, that's a little bit different than the frog. But
I mean,
sort of,
I
just
think
like
isolation of any animal will change them.
Yeah. it's just kind of like, I guess they're like, the only way we think about animals in relationships is like how important the relationships are and how they connect. And so they're like, the flip side of that is like, what are the benefits and how does isolation influence an animal? Just like, sorry, we just weren't looking there in a weird way. Maybe.
Very nice.
I'm assuming that, and everyone out there that's maybe in isolation listening to this podcast, we thank you.
Mm-hmm. And you're gonna fuck real good when you come back.
Yeah, your dick's gonna be hard.
If you're lonely right now,
stiff as fuck.
A full on dose of Viagra. That's what it's like.
I've never had the pleasure myself, but I can imagine. I've always wondered what it would be like to take one of those.
Just rip it and dip it, dude. Just do it.
Have you ever done it?
You can just buy it online.
Yeah, so but you have done it.
You've done it.
I definitely have.
Is it pretty great, or?
The real question is if you can just have it without having to go to a doctor, why would you not?
I don't know. I guess I've never done it. So, like,
but like, do I want a boner that, like, do I want to have a boner for that long?
It's not about having a long time boner. It's about, like, you know, when you're fucking and you've got to, like, get up and open a drawer to get a condom and you're like, ah, shit, I got distracted for 1 second.
Right.
Just imagine, I guess so. Just being able to power through that. There is no, like, extended time boner.
Right. But your boner is just raging whenever you have the boner. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
And so is it harder to lose the boner once you're like done fucking?
No.
It's not. I heard that maybe it's just like, you remember our Uncle Ed, Zach?
Yeah.
When he took too much Viagra and he almost had a priapism and he had to go to the hospital and drain the blood before his wiener literally rotted.
I mean, body. Who knows what other shit he was taking, you know?
True.
I mean, Ed, if you're listening, how you doing, man? But you and me both know that you weren't just taking Viagra.
I think maybe he took a lot. I think he was like, it's not probably not enough for me. I want to fuck harder than anyone ever has.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say, you know, as long as we're just out there, I would say highly recommend no side effects. And I was just like, you can just buy this? You can just have this?
Huh. You can just get it online?
Yeah, you can just get it online. No, you have to tell basically the doctor is there to be like, they'll ask you how old you are, what your blood pressure is, and, you know. Do you like smoke? Like, do you have to do anything that would put you in a situation where you would get one of these priapisms or whatever?
Right.
And as long as you're like a young person with not like crazy blood pressure or some kind of problem like that, like they're like, oh, ready to rock. Go ahead. Rock and roll, man.
I thought because I was a young person that like, because I already pretty much have a functional boner, like I don't really have many complaints about my boner getting skills. I can get them if I want them. And I felt like because I already have a good boner, that this would be so much that it would always be like too much boner. Like I would just get my boner would be stuck as a boner for way too long.
See, that's the thing. I think everyone thinks that, but it's just not like that.
Cause or like, you it's know, like, or it's like whenever you want to get a boner again, you don't have any sauce, then like,
true. Yeah.
You're
like
just not really pleased with
the chapstick effect. When you start using chapstick, your body doesn't produce your own lip oils and you need the chapstick. Yeah.
You're trying to produce those damn lip oils.
Know what I mean though? Like I wouldn't be able to get boners without the pills then.
I don't think I would say in my personal experience that has absolutely not been the case. But then again, I did not have a problem in the first place. I just wanted a fucking motherfucking ripping boner.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
I guess I just like had a lot of Viagra lore that I believed.
That's what I think out there. It's connected to ED, and like the thing is like I just like taking recreational drugs.
It's not because a dysfunction. This is an erectile enhancement, EE.
That's right.
Have you ever taken like a nitrous oxide?
No, I don't know what that is.
Okay. That's similar, but it's like kind of a more.
Is that a popper?
No. I don't think so. But like, it's one of the supplements that my company sells, and like, it supposedly gives you like a lot. It's kind of like a pre-workout, but it's also like on the sly, kind of like a boner enhancer.
Actually, I think it is literally the same thing.
Oh, well, I can get that shit for free.
Let me see this. Hold on 1 second. Let me see here.
A nitric oxide booster. That's what it is.
I thought poppers were like you breathed them in.
Yeah, I don't actually know what a popper is.
I thought that was like they look like
yeah,
a jar of like, I don't know, like oil or something. I always see people like
kind of has like a cigarette kind of effect. Like you're just calms you kind of.
No, I think it's like a hyper. Actually, I don't know. I saw somebody do one once, and I was like, "Whoa, what the flip was that?" And then they said it was a popper, and I was like, what?
The only reason I've heard of poppers is because like gay people use them. I think it loosens up your butthole.
Yeah, that's why like it relaxes you. That's like my roommate who's gay. He like showed me the poppers, and I like took a little like sniff. I'm like, oh shit!
Did your butthole get loose right when you sniffed it?
Yeah, I just pooped.
It just sort of fell out. It's
no, it kind of felt like I took a hit of a cigarette, kind of.
Oh, cool.
I don't know. It was only one time, and I didn't take like a full like you know. Hard to like sniff, but
yeah.
Speaking of poppers, guys, pop a fucking review on the Apple Store.
I just reviewed the podcast. I'm the first one to review it.
Really?
Yeah, I said I admitted that I've made the show, but I enjoyed doing it, so I had to review it positively.
Strong, consistent boner that doesn't stay too long.
Right, if it doesn't do that, your money back.
Guaranteed. Yeah, money back guarantee.
Like, have you ever guys ever had a torturous boner? Whenever, like, you have to pee really bad, but like, you're waiting for your boner to go down.
Are you like in like? Are you in like mid sex or?
Or the morning you wake up in the middle of the night sometimes.
Yeah,
you just have like one, and you're just like
crazy. I have had friends tell me that they just piss through the boner, and I'm like. And also,
can't say I've never done it.
Yeah, I've done it.
Do you have to like position yourself over the toilet?
Yeah, it's really hard to do. It's so annoying. But like sometimes it's a pee so bad I can't wait, and it won't go away. And that's like the feeling I think it's gonna be like with Viagra is like that same like what the fuck like go away.
Maybe worth a try, I would say, but you know. You're not gonna get a priapism your first Viag.
That's what they all say until you get one.
So you gotta slice your dick open to relieve the pressure. Alright, I gotta go.
All right.
Yeah. See you later. We'll wrap it up. Thanks for being on the show.
Peace.
Later. Bye.
Speaking of horniness, the last news, pretty simple news. The Washington, D.C. is trying to count every cat in the whole city. And it's going to cost $1.5 million and take 3 years.
I don't know why that is happening. Are they just trying to, like, figure out how much cats are just, like, fucking multiplying and, like, how to stop it?
Yeah, cats are controversial. Felines have long been blamed for killing wildlife like birds and small mammals. So it's, like, basically just to take a census of cats for some reason.
Yeah.
They're counting indoor cats, outdoor cats, wild cats. And it's going to take 3 years, but you know how that's what I was saying about like fucking, like cats reproduce very quickly. I think in 3 years the population could change a lot.
Yeah, 3 years the population will fucking triple. I mean, but I guess more power to I guess I wouldn't mind being like, oh yeah, just go count cats. That's my job. Just go around and like fucking tally them up. I mean, like, it's in DC though. Like, can cats survive pretty well over the winter? I mean, I guess.
You definitely see stray cats out there.
Yeah.
They find spots. And there's a lot in New York. There's like one place in New York where they had a bunch of like barrels, like these little like cubbies set up with like lots of insulation so the cats could sleep in there in the middle of winter. It was cool.
Do people do that or the cats do that?
The people do it for the cats, for the stray cats.
Wow.
So I think they probably neuter them, but like, and then like build their houses for them. You do see kittens over there though, so I guess some slip through.
All right. Well, I hope all you cats out there enjoyed the podcast.
Yeah, sorry. I was really steamed up about the water in the air being poison.
Yeah, you came out throwing punches for sure.
I was just like, that's just so rude. Like I was saying, like, I was afraid to drink the water for so long because of what is it?
You're afraid you're going to get a hard boner from the tap water.
Yeah, I thought that I was afraid of fluoride. And then eventually I was like, no, I'm crazy. Like, that's not that bad. But it's like, no, I was right to distrust the government.
Yeah, Sean doesn't drink tap water. He only drinks reverse osmosis.
Yeah, I mean, I stopped doing it because I felt like I was just like being a little like a vegan. You know what I mean? Yeah, like just somebody who needs like more. Annoyance. Like I was just in situations where I couldn't really control my environment as much. And I just like, I could either like not drink water, which I would die, or I could just drink a little bit of fluoride maybe.
I just drink so much fucking water. It's like,
yeah, that's what I think too. Like, I try to drink a lot of water too.
Cause I would buy bottled water and then I feel bad.
Yeah,
for fucking having a bunch of bottles, and then you I think about that fucking wave that was like in what country was that in? That wave of garbage.
I didn't hear about it.
You didn't see that?
No.
It was like a fucking like on this beach or something. These waves were coming in, and it was just all garbage. Like it was just completely like garbage was just floating on top of the water. You couldn't even see the water. It was just garbage.
Yeah. And it's really bad. Like they said, like every fucking like square inch of the ocean has microscopic plastic in it. There's not a part of the ocean that's not just plastic, and it sucks because it's like one of those things like mercury, where like the small fish will get it in them, bigger fish will eat them, bigger fish will eat them. By the time like whales or whatever are eating like kind of big fish, they're like full of like these like Russian stacking dolls of plastic. So they're eating like these like animals that are like made of plastic,
right?
They're like a couple, I think they're humpback whales. I can't remember. Maybe it was like one of those types of whales washed up on the shore in Europe, I believe. And they cut open the stomachs. It was just full of plastic bags. It was just like plastic garbage.
They have like a bunch of fucking like Ralph's grocery bags. Yeah. Just like full of like recycling, like
Totino's pizza roll bags. Just like a 7-Eleven cup.
I mean, probably though. Really.
Yeah, no, like a Starbucks straw.
Yeah,
you got did you hear about the Starbucks straw thing?
Yeah, they're stopping.
They stopped their straw production because they're like, it's too much plastic. And then they made like a new innovation on a new lid that actually takes more plastic than the straws took. So their solution is worse than
straws. I mean, I will say that I got Starbucks yesterday and they gave me a straw.
Well, I think they're transitioning over. Or maybe like they've already been criticized and they're like, oh, fuck, whoops. They're going to do something else. But yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I'm glad we're going to see the Yosemite. Like, it's just like so sad that it might be gone, you know? And it's sad that it's like not as clean as it once was. It's sad that I don't get to see like the purest parts of the earth. They've already been ruined. It still feels pretty pure and wild when you're out there, though.
Yeah. Maybe. Hopefully you can forget
about the ozone.
There, but
it was also doubtful, like, but the air quality was also bad when we were there last time because of the wildfires. They were just saying, like, the air is kind of, like, it's just, like, a lot of smoke.
Yeah, it was very strong. I mean,
it smelled good, honestly. Yeah, it was sad because it was, like, it's almost like
I didn't like it, but.
Well, you didn't like the smoke smell? It smelled like campfire all the time. I just like that smell.
I didn't like that, no.
Oh. Hopefully it won't be like that this time. I don't know. It might be worse. I don't know where the fires are this year.
I have a feeling it's not going to be worse, but who knows?
I think it's not. I think it's more on to the west. I don't think it's where it was last year. But, all right. That's the science show. Science Thursday. Shout out to Ira Flato on Science Friday for alerting me to the story about the tap water and PFAs.
Shout out to my boy Starvin, who
Kyle's friend with the lettuce
who can hook it up with the freaking dendrite sauce.
He's not gonna dendrite. They didn't actually test weed.
Yeah. I'm assuming that Starving didn't get some psyches, too.
I don't actually think weed would grow your dendrites.
No. If anything, it would probably just, like, make them not give a fuck. the dendrites will, like, start to connect, and then they're like, you know what? Nah. I'm hungry.
They'll reach into their pocket and, like, start flipping Instagram. The branch.
Yeah. We'll just sit back down on the couch and like oh yeah, I was gonna post like an Instagram.
So yeah, thanks for listening. I had a great time. Had some good stories this week. We'll good be job. Coming live to you next week from Nashville, Tennessee.
Probably with one or two guests.
Yeah, maybe, we'll probably, I don't know if we'll have Evan next week because we just have like a lot, we'll have our brothers and sisters there. Maybe we'll just do a sort of like family style. Whoever's around can talk about the science.
And SEO show as well.
Oh yeah, same thing. Yeah, and if you're here because of Drake, sorry, but I hope you had a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, sure I like Drake. The more I think about it and I think about all the tracks that he's made that I've liked, I'm like, that's kind of a lot of tracks. Hard to hate.
Yeah, him. No, I mean, yeah, I mean, he has a good flow. I realized it like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I'm like, oh man, I actually really like Drake. And like, nobody can deny it.
Okay. Should I play In My Feelings to play us out?
Yeah.
Probably. It's what the people want, obviously.
I'm feeling it. What's on that word? Cause I want you and I need you. And I'm down for you always. And I'm down for you always.
Can you say My Feelings again?
I don't think so. I got a new boy and a nigga Drake. Keep loving me. Are you riding? So you never ever leave from beside me. Now let me see you bring that ass, bring that ass.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.